If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And today's message is worship the King. And I want us to think about that, and that as we were preparing for the Lord's Supper, I just thought about worshiping the King and our responsibility, and really what's coming up as we prepare to celebrate Palm Sunday and Easter. For those that are wondering when it is in March, it's not. It's in April. It's coming up in April, and it moves. We looked that up this morning. It has to do with the lunar calendar. But as you're turning there, I want to remind us that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad in it.
That sounded really powerful, and I'm thankful, because every day is a day that the Lord makes. And every day is important that we do rejoice, and we are glad in it. And we are thankful for it, no matter what we go through. As I said earlier, I'm just so thankful of the progress of this church. And as we focus our energies on growing our knowledge of the Scriptures and growing our knowledge of Jesus Christ, growing our knowledge of each other, we do this through the different things we mentioned earlier. The connect groups, the Sunday school, the comfort quilters. What a great opportunity of connection there. Through the regular Sunday worship service, through the devotion opportunity at the Arbor House for those that aren't able to get out. I went down to visit our good friend Paul yesterday in the Veterans Center down in Norman. Paul's doing well. He's 93 and a half years old. 93 and a half years old. And it was good talking to him. I said, "Can I bring anything to you when I come back next time?" He said, "No, just don't wait as long." It's been several weeks since I was down there to visit him. And Paul loves to have visitors. And I think about just those things, being the hand and feet of Jesus, reaching out to people. People at work, people we don't know. And I feel like we're at a point of rebuilding prayer of faith. And when I say rebuilding, I'm not talking about it was broken down. I don't mean that at all. We are rebuilding on what we had, the foundation and the base we already have. And we want to rebuild on that. A new level of our personal worship. A new level of our personal commitment to the church and to God. Understand me, church, we can have a commitment to the church and be missing that commitment to God. We can have a commitment to God and have no commitment to the church. And He calls us to be committed to these things. So I want to talk about these in Chronicles. The writer of Chronicles was talking about King David. And he took some different scriptures. And he wanted to inspire what was left over, the remnant. I say what was left over, what came back. The remnant of the Israelites after their exile. And he wanted to inspire them by writing and telling them about this great leader in David. He wanted to talk about their extraordinary spiritual heritage that they had. And he wanted them to come back to it. And he wanted to focus on David's reign as a king and a spiritual leader. As well, the leader as the king, but also as a spiritual leader for the Israelites. But unlike the other books, Samuel and Kings, that talked about David, and they talked about a lot of his faults, and they talked about his sins and his troubles and what he went through, and Chronicles really leaves that out. It's kind of more, let me tell about the positive spin on this person. And in all honesty, when we're telling a story, depending on what our motive is, we're going to add details or leave out details, right? Now, some of us just add details because we can't help it. Even when we need the Reader's Digest, we give every detail and we give the big dictionary version of a story. But in here, they leave out some of those things. So we have to learn sometimes, what's our motive? What's the story we're telling? Do I need to leave these details out? Are they important? Do they matter to what I'm saying? And the writer of Chronicles said, really, I want you to understand the spiritual value of this guy and his leadership. So I'm going to leave out all this other stuff that he did wrong. I mean, let's face it. If we went back and looked at some of our history, we wouldn't want that blasted up on the screen. For many of us. At least some of us. And so, and a lot of times that can be distracting. If we know about a history, we look at someone, we say, man, I heard this about you in the past. I can't look at you the same. Now we want to, and as Christians we want to say, hey, I can look past that and it doesn't really matter. I forgive them or I don't judge them. But in reality we do. We look at them a little differently. So we have to be careful with those things. So David, when he became king, one of his first priorities was establishing back to the Israelites the worship. The worship of God is central to their life. And I thought, we want to make sure that when we're up here teaching and preaching, you guys understand that worship is key and central to your life. Your connection and commitment to God is key to your spiritual journey. It is key. But so many times it gets our leftover results. I think about, I told you a couple weeks ago, man, I've got a lot of stuff going on and I just was stressing a little bit. But not in a bad way, it was all okay. And I thought, things that I brought on myself, extra activities and whatever, and I thought, little by little, let me just move these things out that don't make sense or that suck away my time. I want to be sure that I'm committed to my God and my church and my family. And I've just said, those don't come back to me and tell me, you got those out of order and priority. I'm just saying that those are the things that I focus on. And so in 1 Chronicles, we're going to read in chapter 16, verse 1. And it talks about David. He's bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, putting it in the midst of the tabernacle. It says, this is important to our spiritual life. He says, so they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offering and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. He set it in the midst of the tabernacle. He said, this is important for us to focus on our spiritual journey and our spiritual connection with God. Then he set people over it to take care of it, to watch out for it. And he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He said, this is important that we follow these things. And we're going to skip a few things. David, after that, in the following verses, David delivered a psalm, it says, to Asaph and his brethren to say thanks to the Lord. Now, some of the psalm that he follows that with, it's in the book of Psalms, and it connects with things that he had already written and said. And so he goes back through those things and connects those different areas of the psalms he had already written that you find in the book of Psalms. And when he did this, in verse 34 through 36, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen? We've got to remember that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Let me read that again. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said amen and praised the Lord. They were together in one accord, different places in the Bible talk about. They had like beliefs and similar feelings about what they should be doing and beliefs in what they should be doing. So he wrote the psalm and I thought, okay, that's great. He praises the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. That's a fantastic thing. He's worshiping the King. That's worship and thanksgiving to God. Why? Because he delivered them. He brought them out of that bondage and he brought them out of exile where they had been. And he kept his promise. He kept his promise. Guys, when we make a promise or a commitment, we break it, it becomes just air. Just sounds. Just words. Empty words at that. New Testament tells us, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Now that doesn't always mean that you can't commit to something to say, I've had this come up and I'll need to cancel or change or whatever. But it's just saying, if you're always saying yes to say yes, but in reality you're always a no person and it's always no. Look at your motives for saying yes to begin with. Are you just trying to please somebody with those words? Are you just trying to satisfy them? So let's look before that in verse 28 through 30. In 28 through 30 it says, give to the Lord, O families of the people. Let's just go back and read that again. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Then he says, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established, and it shall not be moved. I think that's a powerful, powerful statement he says to the people right there. He says, give thanks to the Lord. And he says, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and strength. But listen to this verse. Verse 29. Give to the Lord the glory, what? Due His name. Give to Uncle Sam what is due him. I get, we don't always agree with that. But this says, give to the Lord what is due, what? His name. What is due His name. We owe Him that. He has things that we should be giving to Him. A way that we should come and approach Him. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I get sometimes we come to church with a funk or something going on in our mind. It could have been that last driver we encountered trying to get here. Could have been walking out the door, the encounter at home. And we get here. But God says, when you come here, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to come prepare yourself to worship me. There's nights that we're out late on Saturday night. There's nights we shouldn't be out late on Saturday night. All kinds of things come up. But He says, when you come before me, I want you to be prepared to worship me. And praise me. Give to the Lord glory and strength. And it is hard to pass that on when we have nothing to give. We've said it before. We bring Him our leftovers. I got a quarter, Lord. That's all I got left. I spent the rest on myself. There you go. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Hold that place in your Bible. I'm going to flip back and you can flip with me if you want. But you don't have to. Exodus chapter 20. Those of you familiar with this spot in the Bible know, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And he says in Exodus chapter 20, and thank you for going there with me. Exodus chapter 20. We'll just start in verse 1. It says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What does He tell them? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything, anything that's in heaven, or anything that is on earth, or beneath it, or that's in the water, under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. Why not? For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. And he says, when you worship me, you have no business worshiping anything or anyone else. Not in heaven, not on earth, not in the water, not below the earth. You have no business worshiping anything else. Why? Because you worship the King. I'm a jealous God, he says. I visit the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of who? Of those who hate me. But he says, I show mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. He's a jealous God. No other gods, just me. You don't get to worship anything else. You get to worship me. And that should be enough to sustain you no matter what you're going through. Amen? I said a couple weeks ago, if we know what's in here, that's enough to sustain us. If we believe what's in here, that is enough to sustain us. And if we trust that, that is enough to sustain us no matter what we're going through. And we talked about those different trials. And we said, if we know what causes that, and we know how to prevent it, how to eliminate it or at least reduce those things, then we can grow from that and through that. In Deuteronomy, flip back in between the two books we were just in, Deuteronomy chapter 29. And he says just in the middle of that about worship, Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 18. He says, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and worship the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. He says, we don't want anyone's heart turning away from God. We don't want them going and worshiping other gods, because we don't want there to be any strife in between them. And it goes back into what he was telling the people after reading the psalm to them. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. And I want us to think about that when we leave here today. Do we give him the glory due his name? What does the Bible say we should do at the mention of his name? It tells us knees shall bow. At the mention of his name, tongues confess. And then Jesus told them, in verse 37 of 1 Chronicles 16. He said he left them. And he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Why? To minister before the Ark regularly. He says, these are what we want to do. And then in verse 43 he says, all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. They'd come to worship. They'd come to focus on worship. Then they all departed. Each one went to their house, taking care of their house, worshiping the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord. It says in verse 41, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because His mercy, what? Endures forever. It says, they said to sound the alarm with trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. And we'll close with this from Romans chapter 12. As we talk about worshiping the King. And it's a familiar verse in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Learn what pleases God, church. When we learn and do those things, learning is one thing. When we do them, that's another thing. And the Bible tells us, this pleases God. This pleases God. This does not please God. He becomes angry. He becomes jealous. And it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to learn and know and begin living and training our mind of what is acceptable to God. We have to understand when we come into His presence to worship Him in our actions and our words. You hear me pray about this every week as I close. And I tell the Lord to help guide our tongues. They're powerful tools. And I ask God to help guide our steps. Lead our paths. Keep us from places we shouldn't be going. And help direct our paths into places we should. Give thanks to the Lord. Or give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We're preparing next month again for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. What I want us to do is invite people. It's not about people. It's about connecting people with the living God. They killed Him and they hung Him on a cross. But as we found out, and we'll find out Easter Sunday, He's not dead. He's very much alive. And I want you guys inviting people, these empty chairs we talked about last week. Invite those that may not know Him. Invite those that forgot about Him. Invite those that have been hurt and may blame Him. Invite those that think that He's dead. Invite those that you think are dead. Let's connect people with the living God. Amen. Let's bow our head and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we are so thankful to worship the King. We are able to worship the King in freedom and openness. And Lord, we pray for those people in those places that that's not possible. Lord, we pray this day, today, for our church services coming up, Lord, that we connect people with the living God. That we would have a passion and a desire to invite people, to connect them to the living God. To a God they may not know, to a God they may have known but walked away from. To a God they may have turned their back to. That we have a desire and a burden to connect them and reconnect them in a strong and mighty way. Lord, we thank You for the work that You're doing at Prayer of Faith, Lord, through the connect groups, the Sunday school classes, our different outreaches and ministries through the comfort quilters, the devotions twice a week at the Arbor House, the food bank. Lord, looking for new opportunities. The connections we have with the church and school in Guatemala, Lord, to help them and assist them. But Lord, we know that the true missions are in front of us every day in our schools, in our places of work and business, in our own homes, on the roads, on the streets. Our true mission is really out there and open for everyone we come in contact with. Lord, the message we put out there for them, the worship of the King, how do we do that? Do we show an example as we post, as we communicate, as we gesture, as we do in our actions? Lord, my hope and desire is that we have a burden to be different, to be transformed, and to be a different people, and to be a different community that loves and accepts, that corrects and holds accountable, that helps, that protects, and that we grow the kingdom of God. Lord, be with us today as we go out of this place. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. As we mentioned earlier, Lord, help guide our paths to go where You desire us to go and to stay out of the places You don't want us to be. Help guide our tongues in the words we speak to those we know, those we don't know. For we know the power of words is so heavy and can do so much damage and cannot be taken back. Lord, bless us this week as we go out. Help grow us and strengthen us. Give us boldness to stand up for Your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.